Before immigrants become American citizens, for a long time, they're officially known as resident aliens, a name many immigrants despise. It makes them sound like, well, space aliens who arrived in the U.S. by UFO. Well, UFOs may be a bit far-fetched, but this week there is something else coming from outer space. The comet Pan-STARRS can be seen in our western skies this week. To learn more about the science behind the spectacle, we talk to our local expert.
Hi, this is Paul Salazar. I'm the urban astronomer.
Salazar is a member of the San Francisco Amateur Astronomers and keeps a regular astronomy blog. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney about comet Pan-STARRS.
You're going to have a very, very clear horizon to see it. And it's going to be helpful if you have binoculars, too, because it's not very far from the sun. It's on its close approach, having just gone around the sun. And so that means that it has a good-sized tail, which is helpful. That makes a comet more beautiful to look at. But also, it's close to the sun, which means it only is visible for a short while after the sunset. You have to kind of really be on the lookout to find it in the right spot.
So it's not going to be a giant fireball over the ocean that lights up the sky and kills the dinosaurs.
This one is not that, no.
So with binoculars then, I mean, how can one figure out where to train those binoculars to be able to see it? And then will they be able to see kind of a dot with the tail?
Basically, for this next few days, this is due west. It's going to be a straight shot. Just look for the sunset's point. Wait about 30 to 45 minutes as dusk begins to set in and the glare of the sun fades, and it should emerge from the glare.
And speaking of giant balls of fire that killed all the dinosaurs, we had something sort of close to that in Russia recently. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that compares with, say, other comets or things that come from the sky that we weren't necessarily expecting?
The one over Russia was a good size asteroid shooting into Earth that, you know, some asteroids and shooting stars, as we loosely call them, when they come into Earth's atmosphere, they heat up and they make a big, beautiful, bright light and sometimes will hit the ground. This particular one over Russia was a loose amalgamation of stones, if you will, that basically once heated up about 20 miles above Earth's surface exploded into smaller fragments, which is what they've been finding all over parts of Russia, but also created that huge shockwave that broke all those windows and caused, you know, very serious damage. Luckily, no one was killed. That's a very unusual thing. And it provided us a chance to see the real power of what happens when a rock flies in from outer space and hits the atmosphere. Anything, you know, bigger than, let's say, a Volkswagen bus, right? I mean, that's about the reference point. When something gets bigger than that, it can cause some damage.
The thing about most Volkswagen buses is that they don't go very fast.
Good point there, yeah. So when something's out in space in orbit around the sun, just take the Earth all by itself right now as we're moving. We're traveling at about 65,000 miles per hour. So anything that happens to be in our way, we're going to impact at that kind of a speed, right? What's happening with all these asteroids is they too are in orbit around the sun, just like we are. And sometimes they catch up to us. Sometimes we catch up to them. Sometimes their orbits are inclined and they come down or up and impact us. In the case of Russia last month, that was, they estimate about a 20 or 30,000 miles per hour impact. The good news is that the truly deadly ones, the ones that would cause massive global or environmental damage or, you know, catastrophic apocalyptic type hits, those we generally know about well in advance. And we're tracking at this point, we meaning NASA and other science organizations, about 1,400 potentially hazardous asteroids, PHAs.
That
1,400.
That sounds like a euphemism, a potentially hazardous ball of fire coming at 65,000 miles per hour from space that's possibly larger than a Volkswagen.
Well, yes, and their distances are measured in lunar distances. How many LDs away are they, right?
Like the distance of the moon.
And the vast majority are well beyond the orbit of the moon. So they swing by, we can see them, and because they're good-sized, we see them. And so the tricky thing is there's that fine line where below a certain size threshold, we can't spot them well, at least not yet. Maybe the next generation of telescopes will. And as a consequence, the one that came in over Russia, we didn't know about. We just didn't see it coming. Literally, we could not have seen it. It was too small. Comets are a different category altogether. Comets come from much farther out in the solar system, way beyond the orbits of Pluto and Neptune and so forth. And when they come swinging in, the bad thing about comets is they come at a much higher speed. And the impact, the power of an impact, is the square of the speed. You double the speed, you quadruple the power. You quadruple the speed, you get a 16-fold increase in power. So the bad news is comets are really beautiful to look at, but very dangerous.
That's Paul Salazar. He runs the blog The Urban Astronomer out of San Francisco. So if there are about 1,400 potentially hazardous PHAs in space, and there are different comets going around, how often do these actually have some sort of a significant impact on Earth?
Relatively often in the grand scheme of things, like the one that was over Russia or the one, the meteor crater, those are sort of one in 100-year events.
That seems pretty frequent.
That's pretty frequent. That's correct. Now, granted, we have a lot of ocean. You know, something hits the ocean, it could cause a tsunami. But, you know, we are getting, let's take a step back. We're getting peppered by literally hundreds of tons of space junk every night. Literally. I mean, we're getting hit all the time by tiny particles, by medium-sized bits. And those kind of things are entering the atmosphere all the time. So basically, we think of space as empty. But when you're in the proximity of a sun, of a star, of a solar system, there's space stuff, just remnants of the birth of the solar system floating around. So we're bumping into smaller things all the time. As science has progressed, as imaging has progressed, we're able to track more. Like right now, we're tracking about 4,000 comets in various orbits, and we know where those are. And again, the biggest ones reveal themselves well.
Well, Paul, what's the plan if we find out a comet is, targeting Earth?
We have to steer it away. That's the real plan that NASA has in mind right now. And there are several different approaches in mind. Ultimately, you put something up close to it. There's what's called a gravity tug, where you fly a spacecraft literally next to it for a period of months, and you gradually nudge it over toward this tug, if you will. And all you have to do is move in orbit by a very small amount, if it's millions of miles away, and it eventually can be a miss.
So it's actually possible to re-steer one of these potentially hazardous comets or asteroids.
That's correct. You could use that. You could use ion propulsion. Literally, there's even discussion of painting. Like, you paint a side of it, and you heat up one side over the other, and that'll push from solar wind away from a given trajectory. There's a number of good ideas out there.
Would that take Bruce Willis or Ben Affleck like landing on the comet and painting it?
Let's hope not. Those approaches were not too productive. Yeah, you don't want to blow them up. The bottom line is blowing them up is you just create lots of smaller asteroids or lots of smaller comets, and that's a bad outcome.